Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone. Just, yes, the chat's acknowledging us. Hello, welcome to Slightly Something Else. I'm Yahtzee. And this is Marty.
Hello. We both need haircuts.
Yes, we were just talking about it. Well, we're in a bit of a doldrum of the year right now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Releases are a bit tapered off until GDC, possibly.
Yeah, in terms of big AAA stuff, the only big thing this month is going to be Resident Evil 4. And then there's sort of a madness from the middle of April all the way through past E3. So
fun. But we were thinking of what to talk about, and then we realized, hey, look, it's 2023. And that's 10 years after 2013.
It is. Oh my God, look how that works. Time flies.
What happened in 2013? So we had a quick look, and it turns out quite a lot of interesting things happened in 2013. Interesting, relevant things. Because one of the things that came out was The Last of Us, which is now a hugely popular HBO smash hit.
Yeah.
Even though the game kind of sucks, and everyone agrees with me now that it sucks.
No one agrees. I mean, I'm not going to say no one agrees with you, because I've also made a list of games that I feel like their stock has gone up in 10 years, and games that I feel like their stock has gone down. And I feel like despite HBO's The Last of Us success, its stock has gone down, if only because it felt like it got universal 10s across the board. And I'm not going to say universal, because I don't think you would have given it a 10 at the time. But by and large, everyone seemed to enjoy it.
Sorry, Tuffy was just dancing in glee because he's going for his walk.
Tuffy is a very big Last of Us fan as well.
Yes. I mean, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page 2013, and Last of Us just scooped all the awards.
Yeah, so part of the reason, also, thank you for everyone who's already sent in super chats. We'll obviously read those halfway through the chat. But part of the reason this idea sort of sparked in me is because I've seen a lot of, like there is with anything, after a certain amount of time, there's kind of a critical reappraisal of different stuff. And not only The Last of Us, but I've seen a lot of people, because later this month is the 10th anniversary of BioShock Infinite. Which is another game that I feel like at launch was lauded. And then in the years since, I think has really, there's been like kind of a pushback against it.
I don't agree. And I think the pushback was immediate against BioShock Infinite, largely by people complaining it wasn't a whole lot like BioShock 1 or 2. I, on the other hand, quite liked it and still quite like it.
So do I, honestly. Like I feel like, and maybe part of it is it's aged well in my mind, because we haven't gotten a follow-up yet. We never got a sequel to Infinite. I mean, we got like the Burial at Sea DLCs, but we never got their next game because the studio dissolved, and we never got Ken Levine's next game, although it was revealed in December as Judas, which seems like the actual follow-up to Infinite.
He's been working on his thing ever since, which he was Duke Nukem Forevering for a while. Which is a verb, I've decided.
I mean, I guess I was going to say, but at least his will come out. But I guess Duke Nukem Forever did come out. Yeah. I mean, hopefully it ends up being a little bit better than the original. But
blimey, we've excited some passionate views in the chat.
I'm going to be honest, people are very angry. Oh my God, there's so much cussing. There's cussing we can't even show.
Yes, Hunter Rhodes is reminding me that my personal title for BioShock Infinite is Culture Shock, which I still think is a much better name for it.
In terms of all your isms, that's not really an ism, but in terms of your little your coined terms, that might be one of my favorites.
Yes, he was saying it's a fun game, but the story falls apart at the end, which is true of every game that ends with shock, frankly.
Honestly, that's hard to debate that.
And Shashank's everyone 70 is vocal in his contempt for BioShock Infinite. Extremely so.
Yeah. To be fair, Shashank is also the world's number one Pokemon fan, so we got a grain of salt that.
Well, BioShock Infinite is the direct opposite of Pokemon, I guess.
This was an interesting year because these games we mentioned, and I feel like there's three games I think of with this year. We mentioned two of them, and the third one was Grand Theft Auto V.
Grand Theft Auto V, yes.
Just doesn't stop. It just keeps going, and we've seen it released on three platforms. And
they turned it into a live service, didn't they? With GTA Online.
Yeah.
Keep bringing out shit for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, GTA 5 definitely had a certain cultural impact.
I mean, I would say so. Its sales are unprecedented in terms of like the AAA space. It's kind of it's mind-boggling to think of. And yes, part of that is because it's been re-released over the course of 10 years on three different generations of consoles. And that generation thing is also important because this was one of those years that was the end of the PS3 / 360 generation. And in November, we got the PS4 and the Xbox One, which if you go back to those last years, yeah. The last years of a console are always pretty exciting because it feels like people have a firm grasp on the hardware. Well, like these were the years in the PS2, we got like Okami and Final Fantasy 12 and God of War 2 and stuff that really pushed the hardware to the limits.
Yeah, it always takes a few years for developers to really get to grips with the console.
Yeah.
And to kind of start doing stuff that aren't just, you know, tech demos that to get pushed out with the console launch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild to think the three games we've mentioned so far, and we're going to talk about a lot more, you know, smaller games and indies and stuff, but The Last of Us, Bioshock, and Grand Theft Auto 5, it's crazy to think what those games look like and do compared to what the games at the start of the hardware looked like and did. Really shows you like how much of a growth you could have over the course of a single generation. We saw the last generation too with, you know, by the time the PS4 was tapping out, we had, you know, The Last of Us 2 and Ghost of Tsushima and Final Fantasy 7 Remake, which were pretty friggin' gorgeous. I mean, God of War Ragnarok was still on the last gen.
I'm just reminding myself what the launch stuff of the PS3 and 360 generation was.
It was, or the PS4 and the, or you think of PS3?
Yeah, because you were talking about this was like the end of the PS3 era. I'm just reminding myself what sort of games came out at the start of the PS3 era.
Yeah, the launch of the 360 had like Call of Duty 2, Condemned, Peter Jackson's King Kong, Perfect Dark Zero, Cameo.
Condemned is such an ugly game if you look at it from a modern perspective.
I think that might be one of the games on Nick's list, his amorphous blob of a 360 replay list.
Everyone looks like Cornish pasties that turned into people. Because
you
know why
beat up homeless people.
You know why that sort of thing happens is that these are like the games that were being developed for the last generation that have been very hastily spruced up now that the new console's coming up.
Yeah, yeah. And so they still have like fundamentally the same bones of the old games. Yeah. Yeah, and then we kicked off, you know, the fall of 2013 kicked off the new generation with stuff. I mean, the exclusive games were kind of bad, like Knack and Killzone and Rise, Son of Rome.
Yeah, the start of this generation was pretty bad for games, but yeah, then, as I say, this is usually the case.
But the standout game I remember playing on those consoles that launched was Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which I think both of us hold in a pretty high regard. And I would say that's one of the games that stock has gone up over time, if only because as the AC series has kind of spiraled out and become something big and shaggy, this is the one we keep pointing to of like, why don't we go back and do something with this?
Again, I said it was great from word one, so people should just listen to me.
You were never wrong. I'm so proud of you.
Certainly am not.
And then Nintendo was in a weird place this year because this was the second year of the Wii U, which is just like a very forgettable stretch between, you know, the Wii was like the biggest thing in the world for a time, and then the Switch was the biggest thing in the world for a time.
I think of the Wii as the console that was part of the generation that included the PS3 and 360, although it was really more sort of the generation before.
Well, this was around the time Nintendo kind of broke that whole idea, because like the GameCube was the original, like the GameCube was to PS2 and Xbox. The Wii, in theory, was to PS3 and 360, although they couldn't share a lot of games just because the Wii was so underpowered. And then this came out and obviously didn't last very long, but we got Mario 3D World this year, which
was sort of the tail end of the motion controls craze as well.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
We were sort of realized, like the PlayStation Move and the Xbox Kinect started to realize that it wasn't really any good for the core gaming experience. So it got kind of, I guess the focus came back onto the straightforward user standard controller sort of shit.
Yeah, and like what can we do with all the graphics and sort of just make more traditional experiences. 3DS was also like big at the time. This was the year we got Link Between Worlds, which is great. And Fire Emblem Awakening, which was sort of one of Fire Emblem's first big hurrahs in the States. And then a lot of other games, I think, that have sort of grown in esteem. Recently, we just got the 10th anniversary of Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, which I think is a game that has, like a lot of games that Kojima has touched, has aged incredibly well.
Yeah, I think that is a game that's, I feel, my opinion has shifted over time. I was a bit cold on it when it first came out, but in retrospect, it's certainly a very memeable game, which is what really gives is. A lot of games staying power in this day and age of social sharing.
I mean, the boss of the game is a U.S. senator who screams that he wants to make America great again. And
see, I was viewing it from the perspective of, like, it was Platinum trying to be Kojima, but if you just take it as Platinum being Platinum, then it's right up there, I'd say.
Also, I would break my own finger for just more 8-hour game. Just give me an 8-hour game. Just give me a game that enters and exits my life in a weekend, and man, would I like that.
Well, it would certainly be more convenient for us. I'd have more time to spend with the kids.
Yes, I realize we complain about that a lot, which is understandable. But also, everyone in chat who's like, I can buy one game every 3 months, let it be big. I understand where you're coming from, too. We also got the Tomb Raider reboot. The let's throw Lara Croft in a river and stab her with all sorts of branches. What did you think of that one?
Well, that was sort of the beginning of what I've come to call the Ghost Train Ride era of story-based single-player games, of which The Last of Us was part of as well, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's really just, you know, go down tight passageways, do the next bit of gameplay, and go to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, The Last of Us is the middle of the Venn diagram of your Ghost Train rides as well as the Hairy Dad games. We had two Hairy Dad games this year with Bioshock Infinite and The Last of Us.
Then my phone went off. That's distracting me. I'm not answering it because it's like an unknown number. Remember when you used to answer your phone when it rang?
I think it is unhinged. Anyone who calls me without giving me warning,
I know,
I think
crazy,
it is genuinely unhinged. Yeah, I'm never going to be answering my phone again.
Yeah.
Some of the other biggies this year. We got Devil May Cry DMC, which is a game
Its
stock has gone up because people were not happy with it. And then I think in retrospect, people are like, that game was pretty good. It wasn't old Devil May Cry, but we were too harsh on it.
Yeah, but then Devil May Cry 5 came out and everyone said, oh, thank Christ for that. Hey, DMC, guess where you're going? Dustbin of memory. Have fun hanging out with Halloween 5.
We also had the year kicked off with Ni No Kuni, I think, which has been forgotten, but was a very nice, quaint...
I think Nino
traditional Kuni, but very pretty JRPG.
Ni No Kuni 2 was the more interesting game.
Because of the president?
Yes, because of the president getting isekai'd.
Genuinely insane. I don't know in what universe that existed. But
of course, the first one had all those, you know, beautifully hand-animated Studio Ghibli cutscenes, which
that's true.
Ni No Kuni 2 cheaped out on.
That's true. In February, in the span of a single week... a real disappointing time for fans of sci-fi body horror, because we got Dead Space 3 and Aliens Colonial Marines in the span of a single week, which, man, that would be a bummer, because on paper, if you didn't look at either of those, you'd be like, man, a new Dead Space game and an Aliens game, great. But that was a little rough.
Yeah, it would be another year until Alien Isolation sort of readied the sci-fi horror ship.
Yeah. It is interesting, though, because this was a pretty big year for indie horror as well, because we got Outlast in the fall and then Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs. And so
that's certainly a memorable one. It was, you know, far closer to Walking Sim than the other Amnesia games, but it certainly sticks out in my memory a lot.
Yeah, especially its payoff at the end, how the story all comes together, and like it's... Man, it really took a very heavy swing, and I think a lot of people at the time were like, this isn't as scary, but I think it's arguably more interesting, less impactful, but more interesting.
Yeah, It's certainly like the story sort of deals with concepts and stuff that sort of stays with me. And that's what you want yeah. from horror. You want like the concept that comes back to you at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I agree with you there. In March, in the span of a single week, we had the weird one-offs of the GOW franchises. We had God of War Ascension and Gears of War Judgment, which were the both franchises in the span of a week were like, we aren't ready for the next installment of these trilogies. But here's a weird little one-off that will be forgotten in time until the series are revitalized in the next gen.
Curious GOW parallelism there. God, remember when that games actually came out? Remember then more than like 4 AAA games came out in the course of the year?
Listen, these games we mentioned, like this is, aside from The Last of Us and Grand Theft Auto, we're at March of this year. Like yeah, this was a beefy year. We got in the indie sphere, we got Guacamelee, which I was a big fan of. Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Yeah, which was the dude who went on to make A Way Out.
It Takes Two.
A Way Out, a bit of a stumbling block. The weird connecting theme between all his games is that they're strictly two-player or two-character. Even Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, despite being a single-player game, was a two-player game.
Yeah, it's a co-op game between your two thumbs.
Yes, it's a single-player co-op game. Quite unique, really.
Exactly. In August, on the indie front, we had Gone Home, which if Dear Esther was the first walking sim, this was kind of the big coming out party for the walking sim.
Yeah, that was the walking sim codifier, I'd say.
Yeah.
It was sort of sat on the line between the sort of first-person indie horror and the walking sim, because it let you think it was a sort of first-person indie horror game.
Yeah, and you kept making your way up to the attic, and you're like, I'm going to find a body up here, right?
Yeah, there'll be something.
And yeah.
No body, just memories.
Just memories. And then also the Stanley Parable, which also kind of toes that walking simulator, but fourth video wall games, breaking.
Video games answer to Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead, as I once called it.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. An interesting... Saints Row 4 came out this year.
It did. Do you think this was the last great Saints Row game?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, no.
You think
no,
Saints Row will ever be great again?
No more elaboration required there. No.
Yeah.
I think Saints Row 4 just sort of took it as far as it could go, and anything after that was going to be a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not... Because, I mean, you could have made another sequel that was set in space again, but it wouldn't have been the escalation from the previous position that Saints Row 4 had been.
Yeah.
Because in Saints Row 3, it was still sort of relatively grounded crime sandbox with some wacky elements. And Saints Row 4 was like, fuck it, let's close off the series and just go completely nuts with it.
It's interesting, though, because there's, like, Resident Evil is another franchise that kept pushing the bar, and then we got to Resident Evil 6, and a lot of people thought maybe this is it. And then they were able to inject life back into it by sort of...
rebuilding it from the ground up.
Stripping it down. Yeah.
Exactly what Resident Evil 4 did.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Capcom's been fortunate enough to where the first couple of games were old enough to where, like, Resident Evil 2 could feel fresh again by giving it the modern treatment. And I guess they'll see if they can, you know, capture that lightning in a bottle again with RE4. Although I'm happy to say, new footage of RE4, the game's weird. They showed all the weird stuff is still there. Uh-huh. Like, the game's still going to be weird. I'm very excited. My worry was that the RE4 remake wasn't going to be weird enough, but I think it's going to be weird.
Grumble, 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 grumble.
You just wait. You turned around on Dead Space. You're going to turn around on this.
Oh, you know what's softy. You know what's worth highlighting that came out apparently the same day as Saints Row 4? The Bureau XCOM Declassified.
Yeah, sure is.
I remember when they first announced that, and everyone was like, "What the fuck is this?" Noah Antweiler made a huge cock of himself.
Yeah.
And then, like, a little while later, with an air of panic about it, they released XCOM Enemy Unknown, the remake of the original XCOM, and everyone was like, oh, this is great. Mm-hmm. Thank Christ you didn't follow through with that stupid third-person shooter idea. And then they sort of went, brought out the Bureau anyway, and nobody liked it much.
Yeah, that was disappointing, to say the least.
Happy memories.
We also got Far Cry Blood Dragon, which I feel insane because I'm one of the few people who wasn't a fan of Far Cry Blood Dragon. And I like all the stuff.
You're like the only one.
Spooking and pastiche.
The only one in the whole world.
Were you a fan?
I loved Far Cry 3, and I loved Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon as well.
Yeah, and I feel nuts. I think I'm nuts.
It was fun. It was a laugh. Remember that? Having a laugh.
Yeah, and it was able to sort of poke fun at itself, at the genre, at games, at Ubisoft, and that's something we haven't really gotten since then from Ubisoft.
Yeah, every big old Ubisoft-style sandbox should do one of those. Just hack out.
For a while, we thought they would, right? That this was just going to be a thing they were going to do.
Yeah. Trying to think of something like that for Far Cry 4.
Far Cry 4 had that whole New Dawn, or
that was Far Cry 5. Far Cry 5 did New Dawn. Far Cry 4
had Primal, kind of, which was its own game. They tried to be like, well, let's just make the entire caveman thing on the same map.
It's not really the same thing.
Yeah. In terms of, hey, remember how big this was for a little bit? Remember Flappy Bird?
I remember Flappy Bird. It was a big subject I brought up in my extra punctuation on how mobile games went to shit.
Do you think Flappy Bird was in the good era or the bad era?
I want to say Flappy Bird was the herald of the bad era.
Oh no.
The game itself was fine. The developer took it off the store himself because he was terrified of the monster he had created. But it's herald the era of mobile games just being knockoffs of each other forever.
Yeah. Which was disappointing. Although this year had what may be my favorite mobile game ever, which has never gone to anything but mobile, which is Device 6 by Simogo.
Never heard of it.
That might be the game I hold in the highest regard that probably the fewest humans ever have played. It is still available on iOS, I believe, but it's only available on iOS. Device 6 is genuinely one of my favorite games ever. This year, also at the E3 of this year, we had a new console drop. Do you remember what that console was? It wasn't PlayStation or Xbox, I promise you that. It was going to revolutionize the games industry, and it was a very small little cube.
Oh, I was, even before you dropped those hints, I knew it was the Ouya.
It was the Ouya. Yeah, they spent a lot of money at a lavish coming out party at E3, and I'm gonna be honest, that was not great.
Yeah. See, people like their indie games, but they like indie games because they can just download 500 of them for the thing they've already got, whether that be a PC, an Xbox 360, or whatever else.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those like, who was this for? Like, why were we? Who thought this would be a good idea? This was the last time, the last year we saw Splinter Cell in Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Whatever happened to Splinter Cell?
In theory, they're rebooting it, but...
Of course they are.
What's going on after. Because what else are you going to do? This was, in terms of online games that are still active today, this was the year we got both Dota 2 as well as Final Fantasy A Realm Reborn, which might be the biggest example of... of a comeback story. Oh, you're not a big Dota 2 fan?
Well, I just when you mentioned Splinter Cell, I started thinking about it. I thought, do you think Splinter Cell was just a franchise that had no place to be in the direction video games were taking at that point?
Yeah,
Splinter Cell was about stealthy infiltration of linear environments.
Yeah,
and stealth was just sort of becoming one of the ingredients in the game mechanic stew of the open world game, wasn't it?
Sure. Yeah, The Last of Us has its own kind of stealth and everything. Yeah. And,
pure stealth kind of died with Splinter Cell, I want to say.
Yeah, and just like Sam Fisher and that whole thing always, it felt very post-9/11, like 24, the TV show kind of thing. Like,
yeah, I'm with you on that. He was also one of the last big beefy dude protagonists.
Yeah, which very flexible big beefy dude, though.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for a stealth game, thinking about it.
Yeah, and I mean, this was the, like, if this was the era that ushered in the hairy parental figure game, you know, with Booker in Bioshock and with Joel in The Last of Us, then maybe that's just like it was a product of a bygone era.
Well, they sort of established him as a deadbeat dad, Sam Fisher, and weren't having that. Didn't want to discourage that sort of attitude.
Did they? I actually don't remember that.
Well, yeah,
I'm not saying that's wrong. I just don't remember any of those story beats.
Well, it was the usual case that he had sort of a somewhat estranged daughter, as I recall. Because he was never there for them because he was too busy saving the world. The usual bullshit.
That seems like a very 24 thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
God. A handful of forgotten games from Japan that I personally really liked. Puppeteer and The Wonderful 101.
I remember when The Wonderful 101 came out. That was like the new thing from Platinum, but just sort of died off with a bit of a squirt.
Yeah, and its problem was, like the first Bayonetta, they signed an exclusivity deal for a while with Nintendo for the Wii U.
Fuck the fucking Wii U. Fucking albatross around the neck of everything that was on it.
This was a pretty good fall for the Wii U, though. If you're a Wii U owner, you got Wonderful 101, Wind Waker HD, and Mario 3D World.
Well, enjoy it while it lasts, Wii U owners of the past.
This was the last good fall, I will say that. And given that it was only a year old, that's not great. But
I think the Wonderful 101's problem was that it was really, really bad at explaining how to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've seen like playthrough videos by people who found fun with it. And there's all this shit you got to master to really get to grips with it that the game's very bad at bringing across. Because there's a lot that game has to bring across. It's a very sort of kind of complicated thing for a player to get to grips with. You control a horde of superheroes that acts like one big punching machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's complicated. And you can take I think that's what it was. You have like a parry and dodge move, but you have to unlock them. You have to buy them from the store, and the game never tells you to. And those two things are kind of essential for the combat to work.
Yeah, and it's tough to even wrap your head around, because when you see something like Bayonetta or any, you know, spectacle fighter, as you'd call them, you have a frame of reference. You're like, okay, I understand what's going on here. Whereas this game, you're like, this looks like they're like a bunch of little Pikmin, or like a bunch of little like characters in a tactics game, but I control them all as one super heroic blob that can turn into different forms and everything. I think really interesting, but just strange. And especially on Wii U, you had to do a lot of touchscreen shenanigans, which get that out of here. Don't make me touch anything. In terms of big duds, we mentioned a few of them, but also this was Ride to Hell Retribution. Did you ever get to play that one?
Fuck yeah, man. I reviewed that. I gave it like the Lifetime Achievement Award for shittiest game ever at the end of the year.
Congrats.
Because you could tell, even if it hadn't been horrendously cut down, it would have been an absolute, you know, hysterically bad game.
Yes.
I suppose it was going to be open world game about a biker sort of exploring the Midwest. And it had some very horrible attitudes towards women and sexuality. And it was going to be open world, but that somehow fell through. So they just sort of cut up all the bits of the open world they'd made and crafted a linear game out of it.
Yeah.
And the combat was terrible. It was that thing where they combine gunplay with fisticuffs. So you might as well just shoot everyone.
Yeah.
Just shoot all the dudes, like these dudes, these like melee focused dudes running towards you with their fists up in like single file. And you just headshot, 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 headshot.
Kind of a mess.
And whole motorcycle riding sections that felt like you were riding a fucking Segway with two wheels.
Yeah. Do you think like a game like that, do they know, like the developers and everyone, they know that game's bad when it's being released, right?
Oh, absolutely.
They're just like, well, this is what we had the time and resources to do. We couldn't do more.
I remember when I ran into one of the developers of Wet. Do you remember Wet?
Oh, I remember Wet.
Well, one of the developers came to me and said, thanks for your review, because, you know, everything you said, we were trying to get the publisher to understand for years.
Yeah.
No, I think it was in that case. In that case, I think that whole game was like given to, like, it was, there was one developer working on it, and then the publisher gave it to another developer and gave them like 3 weeks to finish it. And I think it was one of those guys from the second developer who came up and said, yeah, your review was absolutely fair, and everybody who worked on that game absolutely knew it. So yeah, developers know.
What a bummer. what a legitimate bummer. And then the last notable game I had on my list, which is fitting because we just got Lucas Pope's new game fully revealed. Although it's a Crankers game, is Papers, Please was this year. Probably the standout indie game, I would say.
I think it took a while for that to build up, like the dedicated support. But that was like his first one that really took off. He'd made a couple of games before then. And all of his
games, I never played any of his earlier stuff.
All of his games sort of follow the pattern of sort of using a sort of mundane task, usually some kind of bureaucratic task, to explore a story in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
Papers, Please was about literally just checking documents at the border, it was really good. Return of the Obra Dinn was just about filling in insurance forms, but it was also that and an incredibly exciting nautical horror story.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, he just carved out a really good niche of retro-looking games where you do a boring bureaucratic task and get really invested in the story.
Yeah, they work. And at least in the other games, they kind of leave like a real like poignant feeling after you leave them.
I'm a big fan of his work because I'm a big fan of exploring new frontiers in the use of the primary gameplay loop. Whereas all a AAA game wants to do is explore new frontiers in making a game that looks like a great big frontier.
And visuals. Yeah. And it's incredibly impressive that he's mostly a one-man band and, you know.
I want to be him. I want to wear his. I want to kill him and wear his skin.
Oh, maybe that's what his next game will be about. Okay. About murdering him and taking control of his flesh.
Do you think he'll be at GDC talking about his new thing?
Maybe he might.
Maybe Nick, that'll be my chance.
Nick, get him. Get him.
Catch him in the toilets. Knife in the back.
Where is flesh?
Large vertical cut so you can pull out the spine.
Oh my God, this is getting very specific.
Yeah, and then just wear his flesh.
Mm-hmm. But that means you're going to have to finish his Crank game, so you're going to have to get on that Crank.
I'm all over that.
The Crank game, the Crank works like a little window, almost like a mail slot, and you look through it.
Yeah.
You do some Crank.
Yeah.
Nick says that might make some good content, but also might not. I mean, if you use it as content, then you guys might go to jail, because that's very big murder.
Well, maybe if we just try to be really ironic with it, so everyone would assume it wasn't real.
Maybe you can use Nick's newfound best friendship with Kojima to get Lucas Pope and shove him into Kojima's soul-stealing machine. And then instead of wearing the flesh, you could just have his soul.
I detect a note of bitterness in the phrase newfound friend Kojima there.
Nick just big-times us. And he's like, maybe I got to leave Milwaukee early because I got to jet set over to Tokyo and hang out with my good friend Hideo. We got to watch the Super Mario movie together. I don't think Nick's actually doing that.
That is exactly what's going to happen.
That was my Nick impression. Yeah, and then he talks about hockey. That was the last game on my list that I really enjoyed. One of my favorite Vita games ever was Tearaway. Did you play Tearaway by Media Molecule?
It sounds familiar, but I don't think I played it.
You played like a little, it was like a 3D platformer where you played like an envelope, a little envelope man in a paper craft world. The game had a lot of folding. It was very nice. So they eventually released it on PS4.
But was it as good as Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door? I doubt.
There's one part where it's almost like Teletubbies where your character looks at the sun and uses the Vita's camera to show your face, and so when it looks up at its god, you just see your dumb face looking down at it. It's very nice.
Gonna fall flat if your camera isn't angled properly, isn't it?
But I mean, if you're playing on a handhold, it's going to be angled properly.
Bringing up Teletubbies, like, that'll win me over. What are you, racist?
Are the Teletubbies racist? Oh, no!
No, you're racist, assuming that as a British person, referencing the Teletubbies would win me over.
I'm going to be honest. It was on March 6, 2023, that I realized that Teletubbies were British. I thought they were just weird. I would have said they were Italian or something, because they're very strange.
That's
fair. They have heavy Italian energy to them.
Teletubbies Say Eto was like the Christmas number one in the UK.
Good job, UK. I'm proud of you.
Shall we go to Super Chats? I'm sure some other stuff will come up as we go through them.
Let's.
I'm not sure if I got the first one here. Is your first one at Mr. Arms and Legs?
No, I have a couple beforehand.
Okay.
That's my fourth one. Stephen Thomas, been a member for 10 months. Thank you so much. What sort of music do you guys listen to? Any favorite current bands or albums?
I tend to like remember stuff. Like I will be going through my day and go, oh, I've just remembered a song I like. And most recently I remembered the Pixies. So I listened to Wave of Mutilation and Debaser and shit like that.
Those are amazing songs. I've been listening to a lot of Vince Guaraldi. That's the guy who did the Peanuts jazz, the jazz music from Charlie Brown. I haven't been listening to the Christmas stuff. That's just been my background noise. I've just had it on in the house as I'm working. It's very nice.
Also, this morning I sought out Knights of Cydonia by Muse.
There you go. That's also a good
one. I like listening to that because the soundtrack that Sam and Joe have made for Starstruck Vagabond occasionally reminds me of Knights of Cydonia. Which is no bad thing in my book.
I was about to say, that's a good thing to be reminded of. Beastmarch, been a member 2 years with a $2 dono. Happy Monday, have some cash. Beastmarch, you absolute mensch.
Thank you.
Liam GC with a $5 dono. Hitchcock said puns are the highest form of literature. Mm-hmm. Thoughts on that?
Was he a dad at the time?
I don't know. Is Hitchcock a... I can't imagine him A, being a dad, or B, having sex.
I think a very, very, very clever pun takes a lot of abstract thought that I can appreciate.
There's a lot of bad puns. He does. Yeah. He has a child named Pat Hitchcock. She passed away 2 years ago.
Yeah, what I quite like is seeing like a foreign cartoon that's been translated to English. And that's apparently a pun in its native language, and then having to read like the paragraph of text explaining how the pun works.
There are so many anime titles that are like that, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I got it. Yeah.
Japan, okay, and for some reason, Finland. Two countries that really love their puns.
Really love their puns. Gotta appreciate that. Hitchcock loved those countries. I am now at Mr. Arms and Legs, which I believe is where you came in.
Mr. Arms and Legs gives $5 Canadian. Says, Yahtzee, as a fan of auteurism, have you played Ancestors, the Humankind Odysseys? It's by the creator director of Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, AC1 and AC2. I think I've played that, but I didn't really stick with it because I thought it was kind of dumb.
I also thought it was kind of dumb. Yeah, that was by Patrice Desolé.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Prince of Persia, Sands of Time.
Does Desolé mean sorry in French?
Yeah, he comes from the New Haven Sorries.
Well, how appropriate that the creator of Ancestors of the Humankind Odyssey's last name means sorry. So you should be, Mr. Desolé. Nice.
Oh, no. How do you know all this French? Do you just know specific words in French, or do you actually know French?
I grew up in England. We study European languages because we're right next to Europe.
I didn't know. Okay, you know all the Teletubbies. You know all this.
Je parle français et ich spreche Deutsch.
Oh, so that was German. I took 10 years of German. Let me tell you, don't remember it.
Well, I say I speak French and German, studying them in school and speaking them fluently. Two very different things.
Yeah. You didn't know about that Polish bear, did you? Oh, man, I got a lot of great comments about Wojciech, the Polish bear.
I'm confident when I say that I have enough of a foundation in French and German that I could probably pick them up pretty easily if I committed to doing Duolingo for a month or two.
Challenge accepted. I don't know what the challenge is, but it's been accepted.
So if I need to go to France or Germany at some point in the future... We were going to go to Germany at some point for a con, but that's going to fall through. Yeah.
The biggest, I believe Gamescom is the biggest convention in the world. Not even gaming convention. I think it might be the largest convention in the world. Smells like farts. It smells like farts. The whole thing smells like farts.
Well, that's Germany for you.
Yeah. Is it not all of Germany? All of Germany can't smell like farts.
Mind you, it seems like everyone in California speaks Spanish, a little bit of Spanish. I don't know word one of Spanish, so I'm out of my depth hanging out around these parts. Anyway, Wesley Thomas gives $5 Canadian, says the story of Bioshock Infinite falls apart at the midpoint when it shatters against the multiverse problem. That's a good thing to fall apart against, Wesley Thomas. At least it doesn't fall apart just because, you know, everyone stopped caring.
Also, does anything not fall apart the second it hits the multiverse problem?
I think it's kind of cool that the game sort of explores these out there sci-fi concepts.
Yeah.
I even liked the ending.
I liked the there's always a girl, there's always a lighthouse. I liked that.
I liked all that shit.
I liked it reframing the beginning. I thought the Daisy Fitzroy stuff, I think they kind of screwed the pooch on that.
Yeah,
that was
a bit of a misstep there. That's where things
are both siding. Yeah.
Things got a bit confusing for me there as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hang on.
I'm holding on. Also, I got well actually on the spell on the pronunciation of Wojciech, and I got well actually. I said Wojtek last week, and I got well actually telling me it was Wojciech. So you guys got to have a council of the polls. You got to figure out how the fuck that bear's name is pronounced, and then get back to me, and then I'll let you know.
Look who's back from his walk.
Is it Wojciech the bear?
Yes. Well spotted. Wojciech the bear is currently licking my nose.
Oh, no! Does it smell like cigarettes? Because that bear loves nicotine.
No, he smells like wet dog.
Oh, okay.
There's been a lot of rain around these parts lately. And all the like native Californians are all like, yeah, isn't it great? The weather's so miserable. Maybe we won't catch fire this year.
I mean, it has been very wet, so hopefully it doesn't catch fire. That'd be nice.
Hjorth87 gives 50 Danish kroner, I want to say. Name pronounced like yard. Oh, sorry. Like yard, but with an or in the middle. So, Yord.
Huh. Yord?
Yord87. Had great fun with AC Black Flag last year on Yard's recommendation. Most still hold up, in my opinion. Just last year, that recommendation took a long time to sink in, didn't it? Yord87. Yeah,
I still think it was a very nice recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, I like nautical things anyway. Right, Wind Waker's my favorite Zelda, and Oberdin, and Seraphira.
Wind Waker HD and Assassin's Creed Pirates this year, so big year for the nauticals.
I like my nauticals.
Yeah.
I like a big hard kick in the nauticals.
Oh, no. I gotta think if there's any nautical-themed things I think there might be a nautical themed restaurant we can take you to in Milwaukee.
Well, it's probably a fish restaurant, isn't it?
You not like fish? Because you respect.
That's the paradox, isn't it? I love nautical stuff, can't stand fish.
Hmm.
But then I've been reading my Hornblower books again, and apparently, like old timey sailing crews, they couldn't stand fish either. I guess
maybe it's because you respect the sea so much that you wouldn't want to eat one of its denizens.
Well, it's not so much that, so much as it is when you're living in very enclosed spaces, you don't want to cook things like fish.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they're all living on like boiled beef and salt pork.
Yeah. Boiled beef, Christ. Yeah.
Anyway, Gary Davis, member for 1 month in Early Access, says, Far Cry Blood Dragon, hell yeah. Respect, Gary Davis.
I fully admit, I'm the only one. I'm the only one on team.
Yeah.
What
is wrong with you?
I don't know.
Didn't you grow up like the rest of us watching films with Michael Biehn in them?
Honestly, no. I didn't. I'm not. I've said this before. I think the 80s was a wasteland when it comes to culture.
Serious?
I think, I'm not a fan of 80s music.
Even Michael Biehn films, The Terminator.
Aliens. I like Terminator 2 better.
Michael Biehn had a cameo in Terminator 2.
That's true. Yeah, no, this is on me. This is on me. This is a me problem. This isn't a problem for anyone else.
Okay. Mitch Cyan gives £4.99 and says, who caused the accident at the Spiral Pasta Factory? A few silly people. Now, that's a respectable pun.
Alfred Hitchcock would be very excited. He would make a cameo in the back of that joke. He was so thrilled. What did I call him?
Albert.
I think I said Alfred.
I'm pretty sure I heard Albert.
Sound it off in the comments below. Do I know what that man's name is?
Did he say Albert or Alfred? Use the thing where you can go back in the video. Anyway, Daniel TH gives $5 and says, unpopular opinion, I kind of like the story of Bioshock Infinite, but its Burial at Sea DLC really wasn't necessary.
Man, I like the DLC.
Like, while Bioshock Infinite had sort of a mixed response, almost everyone who played Burial at Sea seemed to like it, from what I heard.
It's also very pretty. We got to go back to Rapture.
Yeah. Just like the thing you already like.
The thing.
The old story. Ooh, it's familiar. Let's give it money. What happened to innovation?
Safety and familiarity.
Ricky gives $5 and says, how come Nick isn't part of the cast? He's in chat monitoring the stream anyways, so just add a third person to the discussion. Might add insight. We like bullying him knowing he can't respond, Ricky.
Nick's also fine. Nick can join whenever he wants. Nick's a busy boy, though. Nick's America's number one busy boy.
I think three people sort of makes the conversation a little more confused, in my experience.
Also, a lot of people on Team Alfred, I'm going to say.
Someone always feels left out.
Is this an orgy thing?
Rob Mace, member for 9 months in Early Access, says GTA 5 was 2013. Makes me feel very old. Yeah, I remember that was like pretty much the last game I played on PS3.
Yeah, I mean, that was a month later the new consoles came out.
I played it on a disc that I bought from a shop because I had just moved into a new apartment and I didn't yet have my internet hooked up. So I played it without downloading any updates on my PlayStation 3. And it just worked.
What a time to be alive. What a genuine time to be alive.
I know, right?
It's kind of wild. Remember, there was a generation, we got two. So the previous generation on the PS2, we got three GTA games, the GTA 3 trilogy. Yeah. Then we got two GTA games in 4 and 5, and now we've gotten none for several generations. So I don't know what's going on here.
Because it takes so bloody long to make. Especially when there's this expectation for them to be on the cutting edge of graphics and all that.
They have to sell 100 million copies.
There was a Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
If that all tied you over.
Mm-hmm.
And they did make like 500 content updates for GTA Online, whatever that's worth.
You know what game was great? Red Dead Redemption 2. What did you think of Red Dead 2? That was before we worked together.
I admired the writing. I think a lot of its open world was unnecessary. I think there's a lot of overlong travel in that game.
Just like real life.
There you go.
A flyover states of the game.
Mr. Arms and Legs with $5 says 2013 also feels the last year when AAA games could make a political statement or any statement at all and not be worried about offending anyone. Well, that's debatable, Mr. Arms and Legs.
I mean,
these days games can make political statements just by existing, apparently. Just by existing and being inspired by the works of known TERFs.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The Last of Us 2, you saw the discussion around that. That was...
Was there much political discussion around that? I don't think that game has much of a political message.
Violence is bad.
Well, I suppose there's a lesbian in it. More than one lesbian in it.
That's true. Mr. Arms and Legs said, or any statement, that's more what I was...
But I always think it's
political statements in the games that came out in 2013. I don't think Bioshock's political statement was very good, and I also don't think Grand Theft Auto's political statements are very good. So.
Well, Bioshock Infinite's political statement was racism is bad, which isn't much of a hard line stance to take.
No, I mean, but even political statement was also the other side is also bad.
I mean, I mean, even like actual racists in this day and age still try to pretend they're not racists.
Yeah,
because everyone agrees racism is bad. Funny that.
Yeah, what's like the last big AAA game that's had like not racism outside? Is bad. No, just like dealt with something that we would say was like inherently political, and not like Hogwarts where all the discussion was outside of it and The Last of Us. Like,
well, for some reason, Mafia 3 leaped to mind.
Sure, yeah.
Which was concerned with the civil rights movement.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm going to be honest, maybe AAA games just aren't, like, can't draw with a fine enough brush to deal with a lot of these topics.
There was Watch Dogs Legion being obviously about Brexit.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though they denied it. It was totally about Brexit.
Yes, agreed. Forspoken was about why having a talking Bengal is a bad thing.
Well, you could argue
you could argue
it was making some kind of statement about poverty in the inner city.
Yeah,
and how you have to isekai to get away from it.
That's true.
Being isekai'd is the only form of social mobility in urban settings.
Uh-huh.
I think that's isekai'd. All I got.
Getting isekai'd. I like that.
That too is a verb.
Yeah, no, I like it. I'm a big fan of getting isekai'd.
Phantom of the Night gives $5 and says, "Greetings from my brand new gaming PC. As the spearhead of the PC Master Race, TM, Yahtzee, what games do you recommend for learning mouse and keyboard?" I didn't spearhead shit, Phantom of the Night. I was trying to take the piss when I said that.
Well,
first-person shooters, obviously. The games where you point at the thing and click on the thing.
Oh, speaking of, Casey got through, first off, platforming in Half-Life 1. Not great. Oh,
yeah, I know. It's like, it was still like learning that jumping puzzles in first-person shooters are not particularly welcome.
He's also just got very slippy shoes on. He's wearing like penny loafers.
So the fact that you brought it up makes me think that you've gotten to the Zen levels.
I think we're very close to Zen. The platform we were talking about was the getting down sort of like the mountainside, and then we got through kind of the house of lasers.
Man, you're still way off the Zen levels, man.
Taking our time. We're soaking it in.
You still got like half of surface tension to go.
No, I don't think so. I think we got a new title came up.
Yes, yes, man. Surface Tension is like one of the biggest levels in the game.
I felt like a new title.
If you've just gotten through like the laser trap room with all the explosives, you're about halfway through Surface Tension.
No, no, no. We haven't just. We did some stuff. We got a turret. We were firing at turrets. We found a room that has so many guns and ammos and things in it. Oh my god, it was great.
Have you run into a bit where you had to call down airstrikes on a big blue monster?
We've been running away from airstrikes. There was like a tank we fought. We fought a tank, and some airstrikes blew it up.
Yes, but have you been calling down airstrikes on anything?
I don't think so. I don't think we've...
Okay, well, I think you would know if you had been.
Okay, I don't think we've...
There's a map and bet buttons you have to press to call down an airstrike on the door so you can proceed.
We have most certainly not done that.
Okay, so you're still in Surface Tension, but after you bring down the airstrike, you'll be in Forget About Freeman.
Okay.
And after Forget About Freeman comes Lambda Core, and after Lambda Core comes Zen.
Okay, and Zen's the bad one.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, just giving you the heads up there.
Okay. We're doing good. Apparently we're almost at the airstrike scene, according to Jason Tudor. Thank you.
Liam GCE gives $20 and says, "It currently seems like entertainment discourse focuses exclusively on lore and surface level plot at the expense of subtext and themes. Do you guys think that's accurate? What do you think of that type of discourse?" I'd classify lore as being part of subtext, the way I think of lore.
Yeah.
I mean, I think lore is like what we're talking about when we talk about Dark Souls item descriptions and shit.
Yeah. And those don't feel like... Yeah, those feel like almost a completely different thing. Yeah, maybe subtext.
Yeah. Liam, you should watch my extra punctuation on the subject of immersion storytelling.
Because
this is something I address in that.
Yeah.
I think video games are uniquely equipped to explore this notion of narrative not being like a beginning to end thing, but more a sort of thing we immerse ourselves in. Like a big soapy bath.
Yeah.
Check that out.
So yeah, it's not like a book you're reading. It is a thing you just need to constantly exist in.
Yeah, it's not like following a linear point from beginning to end. Video games are uniquely equipped to explore alternative forms of narrative to that.
Yeah. I also think that in the AAA space, deftly handling themes throughout the entirety of a game are pretty tough, because oftentimes the themes of the story can butt heads against the themes or the verbs that the gameplay gives you. I think you're able to deal with...
Like if a game has the theme that killing is bad.
And then, but your main verbs are killing and you do a lot of killing.
Yeah.
But I think there's plenty of, indie games that have those themes are able to be dealt with.
Short ones, notably.
Yeah.
Red Beer, member for 8 months of bonus content, says, my personal favorite games of 2013 are Tearaway, Fez, The Stanley Parable, Guacamelee, and Soul Sacrifice, which I needed on PS5, loved that game. Oh, we didn't mention Fez. Do you remember
Fez? I'm pretty sure Fez was 2012.
Okay.
I think that's why I didn't mention it. It was 2012. But I enjoyed it. Did you like Fez? I liked Fez quite a bit.
It's an interesting game. I think the drama surrounding the dude who made it is more the story these days.
Yeah, and then kind of just pieced out from the games industry.
Yeah, well, he was working on Fez 2 for a while, but then I guess like someone trolled him online and he said, right, no Fez 2 for anyone. I'm taking my ball and going home. And then left the games industry.
Yeah, and to be honest, that's pretty impressive.
Phil Fish, that was his name.
Phil Fish. Yeah, he was just on a podcast. I just read an interview with him. Apparently he's working on something now.
Oh, well, you know, look who came crawling back.
He also worked on it. He did a PSVR puzzle game, but his name wasn't really attached to it.
I say. John Connor, member for 12 months in Tip Jar. Thank you, John. And then Ricky gives $5 and says, Yats, do you consider comedy a part of your personality since the beginning, or was it a skill that had to be learned and refined through experience? Strange question, Ricky. Define beginning. Do you mean like from the day I was born?
Were you a funny baby?
I don't believe I was a funny baby. But I was exposed to a lot of comedy growing up, and I have a lot of attachment to the comedy I watched growing up, like Red Dwarf, and when I was reading the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy books, and other books in that oeuvre. I like to think it was a big part of my developmental years, and that's why I became a humorist as an adult.
Mm.
But I'd say it's a bit of both. I was infused with comedy from an early age, but it was still a skill that I had to pick up from exposing myself to it a lot.
Yeah, stop saying exposing yourself. Okay. Were you like a class clown? Did they have those?
Oh yes, I was. I leant towards class clown tendencies quite a bit.
Do you think Jack was Jack had to have been a class clown, right? I mean, he was a literal clown.
But... I've got to assume so. He certainly seems like the type.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Because I didn't really stand out in... academic ability or in physical sport ability either, so we had to have something.
You were tall, you could have done a bunch of dunks.
Dunks as in
basketball dunks, not like weird dunks.
I didn't so much dunk on people. Maybe your definition of class clown differs from mine.
No. Basketball dunks.
Oh.
Slam dunks. Hell yeah. Well, I don't mean like bully. You weren't bullying people.
I didn't bully people with my clowning. I wanted to make everybody laugh.
Good. Yeah.
I hear that's how Rowan Atkinson got his start. He was a shy...
Mr. Bean.
He was a shy, nervous, quiet boy, but then one day he decided to start being the class clown, and he would just bring the house down because he's such a natural physical performer.
See?
Anyway.
You too can become Mr. Bean.
Do you agree with the following statement? The mask wouldn't work with anyone other than Jim Carrey in the title role.
Man. Yeah, the Jim Carrey of that era was kind of second to none when it came to kind of physical comedy.
Physical comedy, yeah.
Yeah.
Real larger-than-life stuff. Real rubber face stuff.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Rowan Atkinson in the lead role of the mask? I imagine he'd have a slightly different take on the character.
Yeah, yeah. Mask was all horned up, though, and I can't imagine Rowan Axon being too
horned up. Yes,
I
guess, like, the horned up was a big part of Jim Carrey's The Mask.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dylan Kuntz, member for 34 months in credit, says, Assassin's Creed Black Flag, XCOM, and Bioshock Infinite, we're all great. But 2013 also had Duke Nukem and Right to Hell Retribution. What a dynamic year.
Did not have Duke Nukem.
Yeah, all over the place.
Duke Nukem was 2011.
When there's a lot of things come out, you gotta take the rough with the smooth.
Yeah.
But the bad games are the ones that are fun to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Ricky comes back with $50 Canadian dollars.
California dollars.
Yeah. You know, they're like regular dollars, but they're also slightly smug.
Yeah.
Yachts, what's your secret in managing time? You're writing a book, coding a game, writing ZP and XP for The Escapist, participating in many live streams like this one. On top of all that, you're a freaking dad raising two children. Do you even sleep? Well, not as much as I'd like. Well, I find what's useful is to very clearly have your time sectioned off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I only start work at 8:30 because that's when my wife gets up. And that's when I come to the office. Before then, it's looking after kids' time. And then I work solidly on writing and shit in the morning. I play video games or live streams and do live streams in the afternoon.
Yep.
Whatever time in between things, I fill up with the side projects.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finish work around 6 o'clock for dinner and spend time with the kids in the evening.
There you go. And you don't watch TV. See, there you go.
I watch very little TV.
I watch so much TV. That's why I'm never going to have children, just because there's so many TV shows.
Sometimes in the evening, I'll just put on like random YouTube videos about, you know, anything that's like an hour long, like amateur documentaries about video games and internet drama. And I just put those on in the background while I tidy up some code in the game on my laptop.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
Mostly after the kids have gone to bed, though.
Speaking of YouTube videos, I got myself YouTube Premium finally.
Oh my goodness.
What have I been doing?
Why don't you just take a small amount of money and set fire to it every month?
I got no ads. What? Are you still living in this ad life?
No, I got ad block, like sensible people.
Shit. Fucking anyway. Roasted.
Dylan Kuntz gives $9.99 and says, Hey, Yahtzee and Marty, thanks for all the content over the years. Happy that I get to listen to my favorite podcast on my birthday.
Yolo. Happy birthday, Dylan.
Oh, I should mention, I always turn off Adblock when I go to escapismagazine.com because I like to support my favorite sites.
You fucking monsters.
Patterned Pike, member for 8 months in early access, says, Bioshock Infinite aged well except for the social aspect. I think the whole dealing with occults of people who worship their nationalism like it's a religion has sort of only gotten more relevant as time has passed, especially in America.
Yeah. I definitely think some of the aspects of the social aspects of Bioshock Infinite have aged. I'm assuming they mean Bioshock Infinite, not just Bioshock, have aged well. I think some of them have not.
But. Yeah, right.
I mean, I think that's anything after 10 years, unless Kojima made it. Everything is perfect that Kojima makes. Disregard all the creepy sexual stuff.
Did Bioshock Infinite reference the alternative sexualities at any point? I don't think they did. I think these days it absolutely would have done.
Yeah. No, I don't believe so. We'll see. Maybe saving that for Judas.
Yeah.
Now you got everyone in chat all happy about their ad block. Created monsters.
Sorry.
That's fine. I just feel like an idiot for spending $15 a month and I was all excited about it.
That's modern society. That's what they get you excited about.
Fucking
spending
dolt.
More money.
Like a fucking dolt.
Welcome to end stage capitalism.
Oh, no.
Kid Barchetta gives $5 and says, ZP Trip Week's idea. Pulsar stroke Sea of Thieves. No post-ZP needed, if you say so. Also, is DS the P5R of Souls-like games, since you're not a big fan of other games in the genre? All right, let's figure that out. Is Dark Souls the Persona 5 Royal of Souls-like games?
Is Demon's Souls the Persona 5 Royal?
I don't think so.
You're not a big fan of the other games in the genre. Wait, you like more Souls games than just one of them, right?
I like plenty of Souls-likes. I like Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3. I like Bloodborne. I like Elden Ring up to a point.
First two-thirds.
Yeah. I've just been saying recently that I've been feeling Souls-like fatigue. I'm sick of just playing games and getting the shit beaten out of me. Although I played a bit of Wolong last week.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that game getting so, like, review-bombed on Steam? Is it like...
Apparently the PC port has some problems. It doesn't play well with certain people's rigs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's because of the content. It's probably something
I have noticed some graphical glitches, but I've been putting off updating the graphics card.
Yeah. Yes, I believe that is the reason people are upset. Also, ZP Trip Week's idea, Pulsar or Sea of Thieves, no post-ZP needed. But if you're going to be gone, everyone's going to be out. We are dealing with what we're going to be doing with streams and stuff those weeks, because most of our team is going to be out for several weeks.
Yeah, we're going to do some streaming from Wisconsin once we're
together. We got a game night promised. We'll see if what other shenanigans. Gotta play that Barbie board game. We've been talking about that friggin' Barbie board game so much.
Okay. I guess
Barbie has her own board game. She goes to the mall.
I believe you.
Yeah.
A lot of things have their own board game.
You should have a board game.
I do. It's called Yahtzee.
Got roasted again. This is the second time I got roasted, and the first one was because of my fucking $15 a month.
Well, it's not strictly a board game, is it?
That's true. Someone was going to be a pedant and be like, actually, it's a die-based game.
Anyway, Ricky again comes back with $5 Canadian and says, Alan Moore once said new writers should read bad stories to improve their skills. Do you think this logic applies to game developers? Absolutely, Ricky. I've played better in the past. It's more fun to play bad games than bland ones.
Yep.
Play
you can also learn from a lot of them.
Play Balan Wonderworld and try to figure out why you hate it.
I'm going to start streaming Balan Wonderworld like next week.
Well,
I'm about to finish Twilight Princess.
That could be your job. Figure out why you hate it.
I just want to start leading the movement to get Yuji Naka out of prison. Hashtag free Yuji Naka.
Oh, what was his crime? Like white collar crime? He'll be out in 6 months.
Oh, but in Japan, we don't know what's going on. He might be there forever. I don't know how white collar crimes work in Japan.
Money talks. If it's a crime that rich people do, it's just slaps on the wrist world, isn't it?
That's true. Martha Stewart's become more famous since her insider trading.
Yeah.
She's friends with Snoop Dogg now. Oh my God, what if Yuji Naka becomes friends with Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart?
He's going to come out and make a video game about being in prison, except you're an anthropomorphic weasel.
I would play the fuck out of that game.
Patton Pike gives $5 with really stringy legs for some reason. Patton Pike gives $5 and says, Payday 2 ended up as a really good game. Took them about 3 to 4 years to get there, though. They brought it back from Starbreeze, so no more microtransacts. Okay.
Did you ever get into Payday?
I never really got into Payday, no.
Nah.
Starbreeze, though, I know. They were the guys who made Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay, and the Darkness game.
Yeah.
That's all I know about them.
I think they're Swedish.
I'm sure they made other things too.
Mm-hmm. Oh. They're Swedish. I can confirm they are Swedish.
Oh, damn it. The chat window did that thing where it scrolled all the way to the bottom and I might have lost some super chats.
No! I think we're at Satterack, 1980. Okay. Been a member for 8 months. Says Crysis 3, still one of my all-time guilty pleasures. Oh yeah, we didn't bring up Crysis 3.
Okay. I mean, it's not as good as Crysis 1 or Crysis 2.
I'm going to be honest. Never played a Crysis game. So those were all beefy PC games, and I was not a PC person.
Well, the Crysis 2 and 3 both came out on the consoles, as I recall.
And they had the stench of PCs all over them.
Yeah, I guess you don't want to FPS on consoles generally. Doing my review of Metroid Prime Remastered. Did I mention?
Are you going to say something?
That was from one of the really early days of console FPSs. And fittingly, the original control sucked ass.
They fixed it a little bit. The remake has better controls. You can go to a more modern control scheme.
Well, yeah, the remake kind of had to fix it. It had to pick up the shattered ruins and try to make a control scheme that actually worked.
That's how a lot of people felt when the GoldenEye sort of re-release came out recently. Everyone's like, oh, this doesn't control well.
Try to imagine a first-person shooter that only uses one analog stick. Just try to put together in your head how that might work.
Yeah. Yikes.
Anyway.
genuine likes. I have Lapis Larka with $5. 2013 is the year SimCity died, fitting because Cities 2 was announced today. Hopefully, the newly revealed Life by You from Paradox does the same for The Sims.
Okay.
SimCity 2013 killed that franchise.
And then City Skyline came and picked up all the pieces and became its own thing.
And now so Paradox, they're also doing a Sims-esque game. Lunch.
I guess if you've eaten one lunch and they've left out another lunch for you to have, nothing's stopping you from eating as much lunch as you want.
What's going on with this two lunch thing, though? Just have one lunch. Eat one lunch like a normal person.
Some people are fat bastards.
Okay. Also true. Ricky? Are you at Ricky? $5 Canadian?
I've got Ricky. Assuming it's the same one. Ricky's been pouring out the super chats this week.
Yeah, Ricky Moneybags.
And says, now that Beyond Good and Evil 2 is Da King of development hell, ideally, how long do you think a game should be in development before it should be put out of its misery? Well, apparently that period of time is indefinite in this day and age. I mean, Deep Rock 2 eventually came out. Duke Nukem Forever eventually came out.
I wonder what's the longest a game's been in development and then it's come out and it's been good?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah.
What's the game that's... I remember looking this up. What's the game that was the longest in development and eventually came out?
Last Guardian, maybe? Something like that?
Someone will know.
Yeah.
Zaratha gives $5 Brazilian real, I think. And says, just this morning, a dude just threw a milk carton at me. How dare he? You're welcome, Hitchcock. Another classic pun there. Oh, have I told you this one? Bloke goes to the doctor and says, Doctor, I think I'm an island in the Mediterranean. And the doctor says, don't be so silly.
That's a Sicily joke.
Yes, there you go.
Sicily.
Monday Adams gives $2 and says, so we just beat The Good Life. That ending, help? Well, that ending's beyond help, I'm afraid, Monday Adams. I don't know what you want me to say. Anyway, Monday
Adams. Was that like, because that came out around the same time as Deadly Premonition 2. Do we know which one Swery was actually devoting his time to?
Oh, I want to say The Good Life feels like it had more of himself in it.
Okay.
And then Monday Adams comes back with another $5 and says, also, the content with Swery was Kickstarter backer only, according to the PA4 version. Something you want to confess, Yartz? It might be because I was playing a review code.
I don't understand.
I actually don't remember if I was playing a review code. Anyway, Leonard Psychobite gives €10 and says, I never understood the massive popularity of The Last of Us. As far as Yummy Hairy Dad games go, I prefer Bioshock Infinite and Telltale The Walking Dead Series 1.
I mean, it's easy to not like to say you don't like The Last of Us, but I think its popularity is pretty...
I didn't like it much.
Yeah, but I think its popularity is pretty obvious, right? Like it's big, it's pretty, it tells a story with good writing and acting.
And people are loads of sheep. And if enough people say, this is the thing you're all supposed to like, they will go, we like this thing.
All right, Johnny Negatives. There's plenty of negative sheep out there who just want to just fucking neigh at everything.
A negative sheep, a sheep that's the negative of a white sheep. What a preposterous concept.
Oh, the anti-sheep. Incredible. I think The Last of Us is great. Also, The Last of Us HBO show. Wonderful.
Wonderful. And as I keep saying, now that it's come out, everyone's suddenly agreeing with me that the game sucked. The TV series is what brought it into its own, because what do you know? A linear story works best as a TV series. Anyway. SVSGuru 2000 gives €5 and says, Bioshock Infinite, the game's singularly responsible for the rapid advances in 3D animated pornography. I'm ashamed to admit, I might have seen the same animated GIF that you have, SVSGuru 2000.
So it's like Songbird bone down?
No. Let's just say it was a bone down between two characters that implies that the creator of the bone down never played to the end of the game.
Oh, no! That's not good. It's like Game of Thrones.
Rick Vicious.
That's like 12 minutes.
Moving on. Rick Vicious gives $2 and says, Yartz and Oprah Din wedding when? Oh, I didn't think I could ever enter a wedding unless it was part of a polycule. We're also with Spiritfarer and Dark Souls and Silent Hill 2 and a bunch of other games.
just going to marry all the boats.
Yeah, yeah. Just line them all up on the shore.
Nice little fleet.
And get a traditional naval captain to perform the ceremony, which apparently they didn't used to do. But
that's just a pop culture lie?
Apparently. I guess when you think about it, it makes sense because women aren't allowed on ships in the olden days.
So, oh, yeah.
Not even for a bridal party.
Pretty dumb.
Richard, a member for 2 months in early access, says, how do you feel about Hotline Miami, Marty? It's 80s.
I'm honestly not crazy about Hotline Miami.
You don't I don't like the game.
Nah, I don't like the gameplay loop. I find the whole style and everything was kind of jarring. I don't know. Wasn't of that era. That's not one of the indie games I talk about.
It's like classic indie gaming. I still consider games where you're expected to rush in and die a lot and try again as Hotline Miami like.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it wasn't good. I'm not saying it wasn't influential. It just wasn't I don't know, not my breed of ultra violence.
Oh, I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Pateris Christianis, member for 28 Beautiful. Months in bonus content, says, while Bioshock Infinite gameplay falls apart in the end, I still feel impact left on me about how and even if you can redeem yourself. Hey, yeah. Pateris, you know, on the internet, you can, like, give yourself nicknames, right? You can be whatever crazy name you like. I call myself Yahtzee. Some people call themselves names like Caramel Gopher. It makes things a lot of fun, I find.
You know what? Be proud of your name. Petraeus, be proud of your name.
Same things to you, Richard, who gave the previous member chat.
You don't know. Maybe that's like a little goof name.
Oh, and you as well, Michael Wolf, who gives $2 to say, what about Tales of Vesperia? What about Tales of Vesperia, Michael Wolf?
I only played Tales of Symphonia and Tales of Arise. I never played Vesperia. I don't know what I was doing in 2013. I was too busy being linked between worlds. There you go.
See, that's more like it. Mad Cowboy, member for 9 months in early access, says, Zen is a nice change of pace. Half-Life was getting stale. Well, if you were feeling that way, maybe you should just stop and play a different game, Mad Cowboy. Because that's basically what it did. Switch to a different game for the last chapter.
Man, I have a decent amount of complaints about Half-Life. It being stale is not one of them. Because it continues to throw curveballs at us.
Finish the game with KC and then come to me with a list and we'll go through it. All right.
Okay, that'll be like 3 or 4 years from now. We're taking our time.
Will Cooling gives £2. Says, has your thoughts on Mario 3D World improved, Yards? I guess. It's fine.
It's not fine. It's fucking great. This negativity around The Last of Us and Mario 3D World, it's gotta go. It's gotta go.
I played it with my daughter a bit. Or in front of her, I should say.
Oh, the Switch version?
It's still hard to keep track of all the different ones. So there's New Super Mario Brothers, New Super Mario Brothers Wii, New Super Mario Brothers 2, New Super Mario Brothers U, New Super Mario 3D Land, mm-hmm. Super Mario 3D World.
There was a new Luigi U.
There's one that's Luigi, and these are all distinct different games.
Yeah. They have a problem using the same names for a lot of things.
Yeah. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed Nintendo tend to do that?
Yeah. Mario Odyssey was a nice like breath of fresh air, because that's the only thing that's called Odyssey. When are we getting our new Mario game? What's going on here?
They're still working on the open world, which is...
That's got to be a Switch 2 launch game.
I keep saying Mario open world is kind of an inevitability. It's going to happen sooner or later. I mean, and I feel like Bowser's Fury was them sort of putting out feelers to sort of gauge the reaction there would be to open world Mario, and it's basically the only way they can top Mario Odyssey at this point. Damned if I do gives $2 and says, here's $2 because your doggy is cute.
Oh.
Do you hear that? You've eat tonight, Toffee. You earned some money. Doobie 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 doo. We're at Babylon Broken, who gives £25.
Oh my
boy,
gosh.
That's like 8,000 American dollars.
It is.
And says, it's a shout, actually. Been enjoying your content forever, but I ain't being subjected to ads. Have this instead. Thank you for being a good British ambassador, Yahtzee. Well, I don't think I'm well, I'm not really a very good British ambassador, because when people say to me, should I go and live in Britain, I say to them, you absolutely should not. It sucks.
But you talk about British treats a lot. You talk about British television that I don't understand.
I'm being nostalgic for a period in which I lived in England. I wouldn't want to go back there now. It sucks now.
Everywhere sucks now. California is very nice, I will say.
Yeah, California is about as good as you'll get these days.
Yeah, very expensive.
You just sort of have to sort of mentally separate it from the rest of America.
You just wait. April's going to come around. You're going to come back and you're going to be like, can we do a slight something else on why the next great video game should take place in Milwaukee? Because you're going to fall in love with it.
Yeah, well, let me tell you. As we've discussed, I'm sure it's a great post-apocalypse setting.
You don't even know what it's like to be next to a lake.
Sure I'll go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin and look around and say, yeah, this really looks like it would be great if we dropped a huge bomb on it.
You just wait. Brady Street, bars, restaurants, on the same street.
Ricky, holy shit, slow down, Ricky. Give us $5 Canadian and says, gentlemen, how do I acquire a six-pack? I'm sure both of you have a lot of expertise on the subject, so I feel like your input will help me out immensely. Well, what I usually do is I go to the BevMo. Lol.
Mm-hmm. Ah! Beverages and more. Cut carbs. Cut sugar. Do some sit-ups.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems like that.
Do we look like we know how to acquire a six-pack, Ricky?
Yeah. Yeah. Does anyone who's got a six-pack? Does anyone have a six-pack? Does Jack have a six-pack?
I very much doubt it.
I bet Jack's like secretly swole.
I haven't been able to go down the climbing gym since our first kid was born. So I'm the furthest thing from a six-pack right now. Anyway, Wojtek, I know how to pronounce that now. Or do I?
We don't know. People keep yelling at us.
Gives $10 and says, any nautical book recommendations? Hornblower, the Horatio Hornblower books, all of them.
Mm.
And some people like the Master and Commander series, or that shit. I tried reading Master and Commander, kind of bounced off it. I think I'm going to try it again, though.
Hmm. The Terror? I read The Terror.
Okay.
That was about a boat that got like stuck in an iceberg.
Oh, is that the one they made a TV show?
They made a TV series based out of, yeah. And then it kind of became about like a survival story, cannibalism.
I should read that. Scary. Although it might be, I like adventuresome nautical adventures, not horrifying ones.
Yeah, it's a little spooky.
Humane Shield gives $9.99 and says, is there such a thing as a good fanboy? I would consider myself a Dresden Files fanboy, but I love series and acknowledge that it's good world building with mostly basic character design. Well, I'd say it's bad to be a Dresden Files fanboy, Humane Shield.
I think as long as you are self-aware, I think it's fine to be a fan of stuff. If you're self-aware, and then if you're not toxic because other people don't like it, and if you kind of understand that your personal opinion is your personal opinion and not gospel, I think that's fine.
I'm going to make a semantic argument. I think it's fine to be a fan of something. It's not fine to be a fanboy of something.
What do you think the difference is?
The difference
like
is...
like espousing gospel?
Yeah, yeah. Fanboy or fangirl or fan whatever you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't go to bat for corporations. That's weird. Corporations don't
I think
need
Mark Kermode, the film critic, once said that when he was reviewing Zack Snyder's Watchmen... he was saying on the good side of things, Zack Snyder is a fan of Watchmen, but on the bad side of things, he's also a fanboy of Watchmen. So that might give you some insight into how I understand the distinction between the two is.
I like that. Yeah.
Cupus, welcome to bonus content.
Thank you, Cupus.
And Patent Pike gives $2 and says Metroid Dread was apparently 16 years to develop.
Well, that wasn't in development. It was announced. and it was scrapped several times, and eventually when it went under Mercury Steam, that was it was a very different project. So, but that is a very long time from reveal to it coming out.
And Rick Vicious gives $2 and says, "Booker versus Mortimer, whomst is the better bard?" Well, I think you're trying.
Who's not even a bard?
Yeah, he's trying to start shit between the two of us, but he has made the rookie error by not realizing that only one of those characters was a bard.
Yeah, I was a cleric, and I was a level one cleric, which, to be honest, not great. Wasn't able to save anyone on that trip.
And Mortimer's only a half bard. He's a rogue bard. He's a multi-class.
Which half, rogue. The top half or the bottom half?
Well, I call him Rogue Bard, but in my mind, his class is Con Artist.
I like it.
Because it's charisma married with stealth and stealing stuff.
I'm really excited for you guys to film season 3 in person.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. I'm
going to dress up.
Incredible.
Except probably not.
Okay. Slightly less incredible.
Ricky gives $5 Canadian again. Jesus Christ. He can't be stopped.
Ricky.
Oh, Ricky, you're so fine. You're so fine, you blow my mind. And he asks, "Marty, have you seen Chainsaw Man? One of the few anime that made me binge read the manga after watching his first season. It's that good."
I have. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't read a lot of manga, especially if a series is still ongoing. However, I really enjoyed Chainsaw Man. Yahtzee, have you seen Chainsaw Man?
I have
not.
It's
about a man who becomes a chainsaw.
I have not, but it is constantly coming up, and I'm learning a lot about it from the usual internet cultural osmosis. I think Anime with Alvin did a recipe from it once, which is like
Anime with Alvin?
It's like the Binging with Babbage spin-off. That does animes and video game recipes.
Oh, interesting.
He did the giant burger from Persona 5.
Incredible. The Big Bang Burger?
Yeah, he literally made the burger that was like 2 foot wide. You should check it out.
That burger's too big. No one should be eating that.
Well, that's all the Super Chats.
Oh my god, that's such a big burger. I
know, right?
Oh, it's like in the Babish universe.
Yeah, he's one of the spin-off series.
Part of the BCU.
Yeah. So that'll be it from us today, unless more Super Chats arrive, which they inevitably will while we're signing off. Oh, what do you know? The Dogmatic Director gives $2 and says, "Last minute dono, aren't I such a scamp? Oh, you sure made us look like fools by giving us money, the Dogmatic Director. I sure hope no one else makes us look like fools by giving us money before the end of this."
Classic scampery.
Anyway, what have we got coming up this week? Well, for my part, I've got my usual zero punctuation. It will be on the subject of Atomic Heart. Although on the same day, my Hogwarts Legacy video drops on YouTube, so I'm sure there'll be a fun time to be had from that as well.
That's why Nick is on the stream, because he's resting for...
Yeah, he's ready for his
banning figure ready.
I mean, even from just the release on the site, I saw the Reddit thread went past 1,000 comments.
Okay, don't go to Reddit. It's fine.
So I'll be post-CP streaming Atomic Heart that day at the usual time. I have an extra punctuation dropping on YouTube for everyone in the ruined aftermath of the YouTube channel that will remain after the Hogwarts Legacy review comes out. And we're doing a stream on Thursday. I think we decided we were going to play Power Wash Simulator, yes?
Yeah. I think we're doing our final group stream, Power Wash Simulator. We're going to be hosing down a bunch of stuff. Free Final Fantasy VII DLC. Ooh. So we can finally hose down Cloud's filthy hog.
That's caused a bit of a stir, so I think we're going to have to do that.
Wonderful. Very excited for that.
All right. What else we got that's not me related?
Why would we do anything that isn't you related? Later today, Jesse and Casey are going to be back. Hidden Gems, 7 p.m. tonight, playing Young Souls. I don't know what it is. It's got souls in the title. I don't know what it
That's
is.
That's a good trick, isn't it? There's a lot of indie games have pulled that shit.
There's a lot of them. There's absolutely a lot of them. Tomorrow, we will be back with the recap, talking about the latest episode of The Last of Us. Nick will be back with Editor's Backlog. I think he's going to be jumping into some VR stuff. And then the regular streams, the rest of the week, we'll be doing more Half-Life. Nick will be doing more Max Payne 3, more God of War. Oh, Jesse beat God of War 2, so he's now on God of War 3, which is very exciting. And then Friday,
that took him long enough.
That was it, yeah. But he did it. He got through hell and back. I'm proud of Jesse. And then on Friday, the Adventure is Live crew, which the normal crew will be Jack, Casey, Amy, and Jesse.
Correct? Not me. I've got shit to do.
Yeah. He's got all that. He's got all those videos to watch, all those ad-free videos to watch. They will be back at 5 p.m. Central for the first in its full form episode of Adventure is Live. So tune in for that and then go to the website. Yes. We got all sorts of great shit at the website. Yes. Oh my God, amazing articles.
That's not great Adventure stuff. Is Nigh role playing. They're just going to play video games together that are sort of Dungeons and Dragons adjacent.
Yep. There's nothing canonical that will come in terms of Adventure is Nigh, but it's going to be a great place to just chat about Adventure is Nigh, chat about role playing in general, spoof and goof.
There you go. Fun. All right, here come the inevitable final super chats that came in after I challenged them. SVSCO 2000 gives €2 and says, "Fools, here's more money." Humane Shield gives $4.99 and says, "I've got a cunning plan, my lord," which is a reference to classic British comedy show Blackadder, which starred the aforementioned Rowan Atkinson.
That sounded like you were saying Black Adam, the hit rock film.
No. Blackadder.
Okay.
As in the snake.
Okay.
And then Simple Simon gives $2 and says, "Goosing the hog, goosing the hog."
Hell yeah.
Well, that's only fair because that reference went over my head.
That's fine. It was what I said when I got excited when I found a Beyblade in Twilight Princess, which is a very weird sentence to say as an adult.
Don't goose the hog. That's sexual harassment.
That wasn't. No, it was fine. It was goosing that we goose the hog.
Well, I hope that hog never goes and writes any tell-all.
No, the hog was the Beyblade. The Beyblade was the hog.
Well, I hope the Beyblade doesn't go and complain to human resources then.
The Beyblade's fine. The Beyblade's fine.
Anyway, Nick wants us to read the article about Slay the Princess that he's just linked in the chat, I guess.
Well done, Nick.
All right, that's it from us. I'll see you all again on Wednesday.
Have a great rest of your day, everyone.
Have a good rest of the day.
Thanks for the donos. We appreciate it.
Cheerio. I'm Mr. Bean.